Chapter 8, God Delivers Us. I mention in this book, in the chapter about God protecting us, that it could easily be exchanged with stories and passages from this chapter, and that I have to make a distinguishment between the two. God loves us and He keeps us protected when we are in harmful situations. There are also times when God delivers us from those situations after we have been hurt and harmed long enough. Then there are times when God delivers us before we are even in any real danger. In this chapter, I intend to prove to you that God loves us, and I will do it by showing examples of times when He delivered me and others from harmful situations, harmful people, and even ourselves, for a short time. Yes, you will suffer for a short time, but after that, God will make everything right. He will make you strong. He will support you and keep you from falling. He is the God who gives all grace. 1 Peter 5:10 Irv. I have done some things and committed some crimes that deserve a much harsher punishment than I received. As a young boy and as a teenager, I was always stealing out of stores and purses, breaking in cars and houses, and taking things that did not belong to me. I did these things 5 or 6 days per week for years and years. I never received any man issue punishment because I was never caught, except in 2 instances. In one, my mother shrugged off me getting caught stealing out of a store as she and my stepfather convinced the store to pardon me and that they would handle me properly once we made it home. However, they did not because they approved of me stealing. The other time I was caught after I took a gold chain and some change out of a man's car. He rode up on me shortly after I did it, and I gave the chain back. As far as I can tell, God did not punish me back then for all that childhood thievery. I did get punished for robbing a store using a handgun, which was a very serious offense then, and still is. In 1998, when I committed this crime, the minimum penalty was 3 years in a Mississippi penitentiary. I sat in jail for almost 1 year, praying, afraid to go to prison, not knowing what the outcome was going to be. Then one day, out of the blue, my court-appointed lawyer informed me that I was going to be released from jail and placed on house arrest under the supervision of the Mississippi Department of Corrections. God delivered me in my time of suffering. He loved me, and He did not allow me to stay in bondage for 3 years. I thank God for His grace now, but I surely did not act very thankful back then. During my 1 year term on house arrest, I still indulged in crime, peddling $5 bags of marijuana, until 2 cops rushed me and caught me with the drugs. I was sent to jail, and I sat there for about 3 months until my house arrest probation officer came to talk to me about my situation. While in jail, I had the strangest dream. I had a dream that I was lying in bed, in jail, in exactly the same spot that I was sleeping in reality, when an angel of God came floating along the outside of the bars. I slept with the head of my bed touching the bars. As the angel came in front of me, he got so close that we were face to face. But here is the strange part. His face was a mirror image of me as I was at the time. He stayed there for a while without saying a word or doing anything. Then he floated along as he was doing in the first place. I woke up and thought nothing of it. Once my probation officer came to visit me, he said he was going to give me another chance and not send me to prison. He made a couple of threats to send me there if I messed up again. But I was just happy to be getting out of jail, so I really was not interested in what he was saying. I did successfully complete the house arrest and probation term without having to serve any time in prison. Thanks to God. God loved me so, and He had a plan for me other than prison at the time, so He delivered me from the bonds of the judicial system after just a short time of suffering. I want to tell you one more story of crime and punishment in which God did not allow me to suffer for long. In 2007, I was arrested and jailed for possession of cocaine with intent to distribute and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. I was selling dope out of my house, and I had several guns in my house at the time. These were 2 serious offenses individually, but combined had the potential to cause enhanced punishment and a lengthened prison sentence. I was incarcerated for about 8 months in the LaFleur County Jail before finally posting bail. During my stay, I met a guy named Woody who had the same charges as I had and was facing the same penalty. The only difference was that he did not have an armed robbery on his record of prior offenses as I did, so he was probably more likely to receive a lesser sentence than me. Before I posted bail, Woody's lawyer told him about a plea deal with the district attorney in which he would be sentenced to 15 years, 7 to serve in prison, and 8 on post-release supervision. By now, I was over the fear of going to prison and ready to go and serve my 7 or 8 years in the big house. Little did I know, God had other plans for me. After posting bail, I spoke with my lawyer, and he informed me that I was going to be offered the same plea deal if I would have stayed in jail for 1 week longer. Instead, the plea was now 4 years on post-release supervision after serving 2 in prison. "I'll take it," was my response. After being out on bail for 3 months, I ended up serving less than 1 year in prison and getting release. Even after failing several drug tests while on post-release supervision, I never went to prison again. I did not know that it was God's love that was causing me to be delivered all those times. It did seem pretty strange that the bail bondsman would post my bail after holding my money for 8 months. God may not move when we tell him to, but he always moves right on time. True enough, I was guilty of all the crimes for which I was incarcerated, but because God loves me unconditionally, he did not allow me to suffer my punishment, but for a short time before he delivered me from it. One of you might have to suffer even when you have done nothing wrong. 1 Peter 2:19, Irvy. But if you are punished for doing wrong, there is no reason to praise you for bearing that punishment. 1 Peter 2:20, Irv, Paul and Silas. There is a story in the New Testament that tells a tale of unrighteous imprisonment and God's deliverance from the imprisonment, Acts chapter 16. There was a woman with a spirit in her that gave her the power to see the future, and it brought her owners much money. She followed Paul and the disciples of Christ around for days, telling everyone that Paul and the others were true servants of God and that they taught the way to be saved. The fact that the woman had this certain spirit inside of her upset Paul. See Deuteronomy 18:10 for the reason why. So Paul cast the spirit out of the woman by the power of Jesus Christ. When her owners saw that they could no longer make money using the woman, they dragged Paul and Silas to the authorities, accused them, and persuaded the officials to beat them and throw them into jail. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to God as the other prisoners listened. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the jail. When this happened, the doors of the jail opened, and the chains of the prisoners fell off of them. Then the jailer came, afraid that they had escaped, attempted to commit suicide. He found out that they were still there and treated their wounds. Then, after letting Paul and Silas out of jail, he inquired about obtaining salvation. They told him how to be saved, and the jailer and all his household believed and were saved. You see, God delivered Paul and Silas from their suffering in jail, which was unjust, and in the process, God saved the souls of others who witnessed his greatness with their own 2 eyes, such as the jailer, or heard about it, such as his family. God will deliver us in our times of suffering before it permanently breaks us into pieces. For he knows how much we can bear. He will especially do it if it glorifies his name and brings him praise. If God had not delivered me all these times, I would not be telling you about his goodness, because I wouldn't have any testimony. God loves you and me too, and he wants to deliver us from a long season of suffering, whether we are right or wrong. It is our responsibility to acknowledge what God does for us and witness to others, baby mama. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 KJV. Out of all of my testimony written and about to be written in this book, I think that this section is the most embarrassing of them all. It depicts times when I was at my lowest and times when I acted my worst. This section presents times when I was both hopeless and godless, all of which occurred during my relationship with the mother of my children. If God had not delivered me from that relationship, death or prison would definitely have been the outcome. I met my baby mama, as I like to call her, in the year 2000 through a peculiar turn of events. My friend and I were trying to hook up with her and her best friend. I was talking to her best friend and her best friend was talking to my friend. Note, talking to is a phrase that refers to conversing with and spending time with a person in hopes of getting into a sexual relationship, whether long-term or short-term. The phrase is also used afterwards, meaning being in a relationship with a person. I really liked my baby mama's friend, but she did not like me. My friend and baby mama did not like each other. So she and I hooked up. 9 months later, she had a baby. I got some money from my auntie and rented a house. And before the bills were due, God had blessed me with a full-time job as a ceramic tile layer. Things looked like they were going in the right direction, but I was mistaken. I immediately became abusive towards her in every way possible. I was physically beating on her. I was disrespecting and belittling her, and I was also taking the food stamps and selling them to get money for drugs, alcohol, and tobacco when my money was spent. It wasn't long before she was pregnant again, and I just did not want another baby at the time, since I felt as though she was not taking care of the three that she already had. I started physically abusing my baby mama more and trying to force a miscarriage. We both had multiple sex partners, so we were catching STDs and fighting all the time. Our family began to get involved, but she did not leave me. The police began to get involved, so I started going to jail for domestic violence, but she still got me out whenever she could. My drug abuse was getting worse. My alcohol consumption was increasing. I found out that my baby mama was cheating with my best friend, so I started sexually abusing her. I was attending domestic violence classes, which did not seem to make our situation any better since neither of us was willing to make our relationship work. We just kept doing what we were doing. After my baby mama gave birth to her fourth child, which was supposedly my second, I found out that my firstborn was not actually mine. Shortly after, she had her fifth child, which was my second. I kept working, paying bills, and doing what I called providing, but I also kept using cocaine, drinking alcohol, cheating, smoking weed, running the streets, and abusing my baby mama, while accusing her of always doing everything wrong. I became so out of my drug and alcohol-torn mind that I started abusing the kids. I had started going to church, but that was the only time that I praised God, on Sundays. I even forced my baby mama to attend church by literally picking her up and carrying her a short way down the road, then pulling her by the arm, and then repeating these steps for about a quarter of a mile. Once in front of the side entrance gate, a church member came out and talked her into joining. So she started attending faithfully, even when I was at home getting high or hanging out with my buddies. After the abuse got to be too much for her, my baby mama filed a restraining order against me and broke off the relationship. I tried committing suicide by swallowing two bottles of pain pills and snorting what I thought was boric acid, which turned out to be a boric acid container full of flour from her father given to me for roaches. Suicide did not work back then, so I see now that God had a different plan for me. After 3 months of separation, I persuaded my baby mama to spend some time with me at my aunt's house where I was living, after a day out on the town together. Once there, I tried to get her to relax as I went around the corner to buy some loose cigarettes. I came 132, back and she had left. I took the shotgun that was in the closet, put it into my mouth, and tried to bring myself to squeeze the trigger that seemed so far away and out of my reach. God would not allow me to do it. Then something happened that I thought was a sign from God. A few weeks later, my baby mama came and picked me up to take me to the store for cigarettes and had a head-on collision, totaling her car. All of the kids were in the car, so I took them back to my aunt's, and my baby mama rode in the ambulance to the hospital. After she was released from the hospital, she and the kids lived with me and my auntie for 1 month until she, I, and the kids moved into another house together. I began doing the same stuff that I had been doing when we first lived together, but this time it was much worse for her and the kids. After going to jail enough times for domestic violence that the next time would be a felony, and after trying and trying to get past the protective order, I gave up. God put me in a position where I had to leave for permanently, so I did. God took me out of that relationship because it was no good for me, the kids, their mother, or God if he would have allowed me to continue as I was going. I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't praying. I wasn't changing for the better, only for the worse. Shortly after our final separation, I got over my baby mama when God blessed me with a good job working around many women and people who cared about me. God gave me something to live for after he delivered me from the unhealthy relationship that I was in, because he loves me. Sodom and Gomorrah, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Matthew 6:13 KJV. The Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 19, tells about Lot, Abraham's nephew, being delivered from an evil town called Sodom, and from the destruction of both Sodom and Gomorrah. These cities were very evil, full of immoral sex and great sin. So the Lord sent angels to witness to the sin of the cities and to destroy the towns and all the people living in them. Once in the city of Sodom, the angels saw the sin of the people there, and that Lot, his wife, and his daughters were the only ones living there who were not indulging in those terrible sins. The angels told Lot of their mission to destroy and advised Lot to get his family and escape before destruction. Lot was slow to get away, so the angels grabbed him, his wife, and his daughters by their hands and led them safely out of the city. After being given the command to run to the mountains nonstop, without looking back, Lot complained about the long distance to get to the mountains and that he was unable to make it there. So God allowed him to take refuge in a small town nearby. In the midst of running away, Lot's wife looked back at the cities that were being destroyed, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the whole valley, and all the people living in them with fire and brimstone from the sky. But he delivered Lot and his family first before doing so. He delivered them from the sin of those places, and he delivered them from the destruction of those places. There is another important part of this story on which I must not fail to elaborate. Lot's wife was not delivered because she disobeyed the Lord's command to keep moving forward without looking back. We can almost say that she doubted the power and work of God and wanted to see it with her own two eyes. That's the problem with some of us. We keep looking back and doubting our future because of our past. We don't have faith in God to deliver us from whatever has been keeping us in bondage. God loves you and me too, and he wants us to trust that he will deliver us from evil. He wants us to keep pressing on and focusing on our future, not dwelling on our past. If God gives us the command to be delivered and never look back, let's take heed. Emes to ks to emes, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6 KJV. I have used cocaine for all of my adult life. After the tragedy in 2014, I was forced to move from Mississippi to Kansas. After moving to Kansas, cocaine was hard to get a hold to, so I stopped the frequent usage of it. In fact, I purchased cocaine once in the entire year and 3 months that I lived in Kansas, and it happened after I had been living there for nearly a year, so I felt no need for it in my life any longer. After the year and 3 months of living in Kansas, drinking vodka and smoking weed every single day, I was arrested and expedited to Mississippi, where I await trial as I write. I have been here in the LaFour County Jail for 1 year, and I have been drug and tobacco free for 10 months. I have been alcohol free for the entire duration, and I have not used cocaine but once since 2014. This shows me that I can go through my life without using drugs, drinking alcohol, and smoking with the help of God. It is my belief that God put me in these circumstances and under these conditions as preparation for a work that he has destined for me to perform. He delivered me from the mind-altering chemicals and my past surroundings so that I will not be distracted as I fulfill his purpose for my life. It is up to me to move forward in faith and obedience to God's will without letting my past disable or discourage me. Once God delivers you, it is up to you to move forward in faith and obedience to his will without letting your past disable or discourage you. Caught on cotton. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6 NKJV. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9 KJV. I have one more incident that occurred in my life in which I think that God was in complete control, even though it consisted of me getting physically hurt and committing crime. I enrolled in college and applied for federal grant assistance in spring 2011, around the same time that I got married. I was accepted into a college nearly 25 miles from home, and I got approved for enough grant money to cover tuition, books, and supplies. There was just one problem. I worked a full-time job, 6 days a week at Wildwood Cotton Gin, where we changed shifts every 3 weeks, 7 a.m., 3 p.m., 3 p.m., 11 p.m., and 11 p.m., 7 a.m., so it would have been impossible to attend college full-time and keep my job. I could not quit my job because my wife was attending college and not working. A good full-time job was hard to come by. Besides, I liked my job. I was in a bit of a pickle. But little did I know, God had something else planned. I decided to grill some meat for the 4th of July. So I invited a few people over to my house. To make enough space available for parking, I parked my 1986 Chevy Caprice leaning sort of in the ditch with the front and lower than the rear end. The next day, before going to pick up my check from Wildwood Gin, my car would not start. I knew exactly what the problem was. The gas had flooded to the front of the car, and I had to get it on level ground for it to crank. My mother came over in her little Chevy Malibu and tried to push my car with her car as I pushed my car by hand. I pushed and pushed so hard that I tore my Achilles tendon to pieces. An injury that would put me in a cast and on crutches for 6 months, said the doctor. My wife did not have enough credits to begin working as a nurse yet, so desperate times called for desperate measures. Over the course of 2 days, I went to several payday loan businesses and borrowed money until I had about $2,000. that was enough to pay rent and utilities for about 4 months. After about 2 months, my wife got a letter of recommendation from school suggesting that she be allowed to work at a particular nursing home, and she did. I went to school, cast and all, and graduated as an industrial electrician earning around $50,000 per year with overtime. The payday loan businesses filed small claims civil suits, and the money was deducted from my huge paychecks. I feel as though God delivered me from that dead-end job at the cotton gin because he has some work for me as an electrician, and I cannot wait to do it.